Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
Okay, just a second. I'm almost ready. It's not like I didn't know this show starts at the same time every week. Cool. This is mine. What happened? Oh, I'm getting likes. That's what it is. Okay, never mind. They're just likes. I don't need to pay attention to likes. I do pay attention to likes, actually. I enjoy every like you send me. It's very distracting while I'm trying to do the show. Good evening. This is Mud Toe Sasquatch, and my show is Mud Toe at Midnight. I think I put an at in my name there. I turned my name into an email address. I am Mud Toe Sasquatch. This is Mud Toe at Midnight. I have been taken by surprise by the arrival of my show. On Friday, the arrival of my broadcast time, Friday at midnight, which is when it always is, so I don't know why it took me by surprise, but I've been scrambling around here trying to get ready. Just barely made it. Just barely made it. And so I am here, ready to spit truth at y'all. Here's the major development of the day. I got kicked out of White Castle. But before I tell you about that, let me take care of my housekeeping details. You are listening to the With Insights radio channel of blogtalkradio.com. There are other shows on this network, but I can't for the life of me tell you what they are. There's been lots of change going on, some upheaval going on here on the network over the past couple of weeks, and once I get an up-to-date lineup, I will certainly begin promoting those shows again on the air here because they are all wonderful shows, I'm sure. And there are some, I know Jenny Seek is still here. I know Iggy Garcia is still here. I'm pretty sure Ananda Love Love is still here. And I think there's some new stuff going on, too. So I have to sit down with our chief and executive director, Iggy Garcia, Iggy Hoop Watcher, Iggy Thundering Four Bears, and find out exactly what it is that's going on with Insights Radio while I'm not looking. So once again, welcome. This is my regular Friday radio show. For 30 minutes every week, I talk about what's on my mind because, well, I live under the assumption that what's on my mind is what Spirit has put there, or at least what Spirit has inspired. And my desire to share those seemingly random thoughts with the world through writing and through the spoken word is reflective of Spirit's desire for those words to be heard. And that sounds rather grandiose. I don't mean it on a grandiose scale. My feeling is that somebody out there needs to hear this. And it could be for whatever it is I'm saying, or maybe just one piece of what it is I'm saying. And it may be for an entirely different reason. What its significance to someone else could be entirely different than its significance to me. So I don't interpret. I do. I shouldn't, but I often do. But it's not meant, this is not meant for interpretation by me. I'm not meant to know what it is these things I'm saying mean, quote unquote. Now, at the same time, I'm not someone who gives readings. I don't respond to specific questions. I've tried that, and I think I've had some level of success with it when I have tried it. But I guess I would trust myself with that. I don't have that same kind of feeling that my friends, that many of my friends have, that the readings they're getting are correct or at least meaningful or applicable in some way. So I feel I can't get behind it, so I don't really want to do it. I get behind flying solo, so that's what I do, for better or for worse, on this Valentine's Day. My regular date with my daughter was called off because of Valentine's Day, because she wanted to have dinner with her husband. Can you imagine that? Ditched me for her lover boy. That's fine. I like the kid, meaning my son-in-law. Of course I like my daughter. Son-in-law, he's a good kid. They're good together, and they gave me a grandchild before I got to run down to play with her. So those are all good things, and I'm happy that they're having their Valentine's Day. It's probably over by now. And I wish them all the best. And if they're not getting out of this weekly dinner that easily, I will be back next week, pounding on their door. Make me tacos. Because I'm poor and I need them. Not that poor, not yet, but actually this was my daughter's suggestion. Because we had an opportunity to spend so little time together when she was young. Her mother and I divorced when my daughter was still an infant. I had some visitation, but it wasn't like being there all the time. And now we live in the same city, and we don't see each other that much. We communicate through social media and through the telephone, and we meet on special occasions involving my granddaughter. But beyond that, we weren't spending a lot of time together. It was sort of the habit that we had fallen into. So around about Christmas time, my daughter called me and said, we need to spend more, we need to make a positive effort to spend more time together as a family because, you know, we're all we have. So I've been going over to their home on Friday evenings for dinner, and already a couple things have interrupted it. One of them was my birthday, where my daughter on her own left her hubby and my granddaughter home. We went out for dinner, just the two of us, and then she took me to a hockey game. So that's a fine birthday activity. And then there was one other time. There was one time I was working and I just couldn't go. So I think the scoreboard right now is we've had just about as many of these canceled as have actually happened. But that record is better than before. So we're just going to keep working with this, and we'll make it a regular part of our calendar. And then I can speed back here and get on my Skype and speak to you wonderful people and tell you all the wonderful things that I've learned. Okay, so let's go back to what I teased at the beginning of the program, which was my visit to White Castle today. I was vaguely aware of this through a Facebook post that I saw, but evidently White Castle restaurants, I'm sure you're all familiar with them, as sort of the I think I might have to, at least for the quote-unquote developed countries. White Castle is probably about the bottom rung when it comes to eateries, restaurants that have any sort of real following, you know, known, well-known restaurants. You're talking about restaurants that people know about, and that there are lots of them across the country. I don't know how widespread White Castle is. I know they're fairly common in the Midwest. Midwestern United States, I mean, which is actually more towards the east and the west, which is, I know it's confusing. But, you know, states like mine, Ohio, and then I think, you know, Michigan, Indiana, Chicagoland, all those kind of areas, you will see a fair number of White Castles. And they make what, I don't know if they were called these all the time. They call them sliders now, the little miniature burgers. They call them sliders. I don't know if they always called them sliders, but that's what, you know, White Castle's calling card has been those little sandwiches. That's what they've always made, you know, going back to their genesis back in Pilgrim times. So not a swanky place, not the swankiest place you'll ever walk into. And you really, I think, have to be in the mood for White Castles. I don't think people, despite their television commercials, I don't think people say, hey, I think it'd be a good idea. Let's go get some White Castles. I think it's like, they either have to be your only option because they are still relatively inexpensive, and it's okay, this is all I have in my wallet. I got to go get White Castles. Or they're just on the way, and you can't really afford the time or the gas to go two blocks out of your way to hit up a Burger King, so you go to White Castle. White Castle has its fans. I shouldn't trample on it quite that hard. I know that White Castle has its admirers. I'm not among them, but I can eat there if need be. And I was going through, that's exactly the situation there. I was downtown. I had an appointment with my Medicaid specialist trying to get me on Medicaid so that I can buy more medication so that I remain in this lucid state to be able to do my radio shows. And then I also had an appointment with my regular therapist who's trying to convince me that most of the feelings I have are irrational. And I keep telling her, you don't have to tell me they're irrational. I know they're irrational. That's a big part of the pain that's connected with this sort of life that I lead, is that insight, knowing that I'm responding irrationally to the stimuli in my life and not being able to stop my own destructive reactions. I'm much better at it than I used to be, but I still have a lot of work to do. And one of those, before I continue the White Castle story, let me pat myself on the back just a bit. This being Valentine's Day, this would have been a perfect day for me to sort of descend into nihilism, because there are all sorts of lovers, young and old, are all around me. And my tendency in the past would have been to react very negatively to that, to think badly of those people, even though mostly I don't even know them. Today, I was able to separate myself from those emotions, to understand that my emotions are not me, and I am not controlled by those emotions. And to actually, I think it started with my daughter, you know, and her husband. I couldn't be angry with my daughter and her husband because they wanted to spend Valentine's Day together. There was just no way I could do that. And I thought, well, all these other people, you know, they have mothers and fathers. You know, someone else, they're someone's children. Why can't I feel the same sort of, I don't know if empathy is the right word, lack of disempathy, is that what I mean? The feeling of projecting my feelings of anger and frustration onto somebody else for absolutely no reason. So it worked. I did it and it worked. And I'm feeling very passive, I guess, towards young lovers tonight, when in other situations I would have been sort of passive-aggressively angry at them and sitting, you know, in my seat in the restaurant and just fuming over the fact that how dare they be having a good time? Don't they know what my situation is? Well, of course they know, because they don't know you at all. So anyway, back to White Castle. I came out of my therapy appointment. Just as my therapy appointment was ending, the security guard busted in. He didn't bust in. He knocked first. But apparently there was a bomb threat, and we had to clear the building. So, you know, no biggie. My appointment was over anyway. I went out. Sorry about the sniff. I've been outside all day. So I left the therapy place as the fire trucks were pulling up and realizing, you know, there's not going to be a bus for a while because they're not going to be able to get past the fire trucks. They're blocking the street up front to keep people away from the building. And so I turned north and I started walking toward home, and it was just way too long to do the whole walk. But I figured, you know, I'll start off and I'll just keep an eye. Maybe this will be quick and I'll see that, you know, buses are starting to run again, and then I'll just run and grab one, and yeah, I'll get my exercise that way. So I start walking and it starts to snow. And ladies and gentlemen, we've had plenty of snow in the Midwest and this year, and it looks like, I mean, we're making up for the last few years when we haven't had so much. And I like the snow. I like looking at it through a window. I don't like being out in it. So my next thought was, well, I got to duck in someplace, and you just wait this out. And I'm going by, you know, there's a place after place. There are bars. They're kind of full. Bar is not a great choice for me anyway. If it's kind of full, I'm probably going to get, you know, anxious because it's, you know, like elbow to elbow. So this is like 5 o'clock at night. People are starting to come out and go in, and a lot of them having the same idea I've had. You know, I'm not going to go out in the snow. I'm just going to duck in this bar for a while. So I walk and I walk and I walk, and then I finally come up to White Castle, and I think, great, you know, I can go. I can duck in. I'll order a slider and a glass of Coke, a cup of Coke. A styrofoam cup of Coke. Not even styrofoam. I think that's cardboard that they serve it in. And I can look out the front window and watch the traffic and watch for the, you know, for the snow to subside and watch for the buses to start running again, and it'll all be good. Well, what I hadn't taken into account, I started to say this, I think I got off of it. I'd seen on Facebook somewhere that there's an event at White Castles, I guess all over the country or wherever they happen to be. For Valentine's Day, a special for couples for Valentine's Day. They're supposed to come in, and they were going to have table service. You know, usually it's a fast food place. You just order your food at the front counter, and then they bring it to you, and you take it back to your seat. Well, they were going to have table service that night, and I'd seen that, and the gist of the Facebook posting was, you know, what man in his right mind would take a woman to White Castle for Valentine's Day? And I couldn't think of a reason, unless it was some sort of joke and your significant other had a very good sense of humor. So anyway, I go in, and I don't remember this until I'm going in the door, and I see that all the employees are dressed up nice, and there's a woman walking around with her order pad, and there are young couples, really like school-age couples, in nice clothes, sitting at the tables. Not many, but the place was probably two-thirds empty. So I go in, and I think, I remember, this is the Valentine's Day thing, but I don't think anything of it. I'll go on. The lady with the order pad walks up to me and says, "Do you have a reservation?" At first I thought she was kidding. But she continued to look at me with purpose, so I guess she's not kidding. I said, "No, I'm afraid I don't." And he says, "Well, okay," and then she walked away, and I said, "Well, all right, so much for that." I walked up to the counter, and I placed my order, and I went to sit down, and then that same lady who had been talking to me before came over and says, "Oh, I'm sorry, today you have to have a reservation today." And that it took a minute for that to sink in, that what she was doing was she was kicking me out of White Castle. I'm not good enough for White Castle today because, A, I don't have a date, and, B, I don't have a reservation. I'm going to let that sink in on you for a minute. Not the first one so much, but the second one. A reservation for White Castle. Okay, I didn't have it. Anyway, it's snowing outside. I've already ordered my food. I've already paid for my food. They want to bag it up and send it with me. So I'm not taking it. It's a snowstorm. I'm not taking my food out there. I don't have a place to eat it. I can't take it on the bus. I'm going to have to sit down on the snow. Maybe it's piled up from the last four or five snowstorms. Maybe I actually could carve out a table and chairs and stuff. Oh my God! So after a brief negotiation with the manager, they agreed to give me my money back. I walked out of the place. Now, if I owned a crappy White Castle, I tried this line out on the guy at Five Guys Burgers and Fries, which was the next place I came upon. And he liked it, so I think I'll have to remember that and say it on the show tonight. If I owned a crappy White Castle, I don't think I'd be kicking people out of it for not having a reservation. It just seems like a poor strategy to me. Anyway, it gave me something semi-amusing to talk about on the show today. And maybe not the most unevolved, or maybe not the most evolved thing to talk about. You come onto With Insights Radio and you expect to hear very spiritual things, and you hear, "I went to the White Castle, they wouldn't let me sit down." But I don't know, that these things happen to me, and I feel it occurs to me this would be a great thing to talk about on the show, and that's what I go with. Because most of you out there don't get in contact with me to tell me what you want to hear me talk about on the show. So I just have to go with what's in my head. Well, that may be the point anyway. I think most of the people who listen to the show actually listen to it later. They don't stay up with me on Friday midnights to listen to it. They just they catch it on the they go on Blog Talk and the archive and find the show there. They might be able to find the show on my website, except I've let the archive get about a year. My archive get about a year and a half behind. I gotta see to that. While we're on the subject of my website, that is mudtoesasquatch.com, and you can see my blog there. My blog is published, either one, on Mondays, so you can see samples of the writings of Mudtoe Sasquatch. And those are going to work up to a book. The latest revised delivery date for that book is summer 2014. But I do have the book does have a Facebook page. There's no content on it yet, but there is an official Facebook page for the book, The Grandfather Tree and Other Writings by Mudtoe Sasquatch. There's really no point in you checking it out yet because there isn't anything on it unless you just want to look at it. Oh, there it is. Other ways you might get in touch with me if you like. I have a Gmail address, mudtoesasquatch, that's mudtoesasquatch, @gmail.com. There is a mudtoesasquatch Facebook page. There is a mudtoesasquatch Twitter handle, and I have three fabulous followers. I'd love to have more, so you can join me there at mudtoesasquatch and see my tweets. I'm going to be doing more stuff through the Twitter. Lots of my stuff has been done on Facebook through my real name Facebook page. It occurs to me not a lot of people outside of my circle of closest friends really know that I am Mud Toe Sasquatch. Much like Tony, what's his name, is Iron Man. I'm Mud Toe Sasquatch. I'm Mud Toe Sasquatch, and can't do any more of that because it's copyrighted. So I'm trying to do more stuff, more of the Mud Toe Sasquatchy stuff on the Mud Toe Sasquatchy labeled things. So there's going to be more stuff on my Mud Toe Sasquatch Facebook page and my Mud Toe Sasquatch Twitter page, and less of it showing up on my real name page. And those of you who aren't on my real name page, that doesn't mean anything at all. But look for me on Twitter, look for me on Facebook, talk to me at Gmail. Look at me on MudToeSasquatch.com and the blog, because that's where I really would like to hear your insights on the things that I write. This Monday was strange probably isn't the right word. I'd had an experience just the day before. It was very fresh in my mind, and I don't usually write that way. It's usually something, usually an amalgam of experiences that happened over a period of months or years. This was a very a specific experience, was very fresh in my mind, and I wrote about it, and it was about playing a violent video game and the way it made me feel, and it wasn't good. But it was tapped into some very specific feelings I've had that have followed me around for a long time. And what's happened, actually, this happened more after the blog was written, so it didn't get included. But it seems like a lot of those demons were exorcised by this very negative experience. I won't know. It'll take a while before I know that for sure. It was a matter of being, I was playing a video game, and it's one of these, person against person. It goes back to Mortal Kombat, where you have the two combatants facing each other and whacking each other until, one of them died. And they've gotten, those have progressively gotten more, at the same time, more realistic and more over the top, which doesn't seem to go together. But if you look at the games, you'll know what I mean. Now, most games, there's something about them that there's a clear fantasy element, like something like the WCE wrestling, where they do the impossible jumps, and they hit each other with chairs and stuff like that, and they have these announcers' voice in the background saying stupid things. It's hard to really, they're violent, but it's hard to really, they're kind of like Tom and Jerry violent. It's hard to, Punch and Judy kind of violent. It's hard to really appreciate, is that the right word? It's hard to internalize the violence, I guess, because it's so unreal in that way. But I had an opportunity over last weekend to play UFC's video game, mixed martial arts, where they're in the octagon, and that's very realistic and no sort of fantasy element included. It's just these guys beating each other to a pulp, and there's lots of blood and blood sprays. When somebody gets hit, there's a blood spray. And in UFC, there's no rule. When somebody gets knocked down, the opponent jumps on top of him and starts beating him in the head. It's like automatic brain damage happening right in front of you. And it's one thing to watch on television. It's one thing. It's another thing to sit in front of a very colorful LCD video screen, a large screen, with a controller in your hands, and to actually be dealing out the. You start to get this connection. I've read that the subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between a video game and real life. To make a distinction. Now, I've heard that in other versions before. I don't know. I haven't heard it said, I don't think, by anyone authoritatively. It used to be they'd say, your mind doesn't know the difference between a movie and real life. And I've heard at some time then it didn't know the difference between TV and real life. And they said it didn't know the difference between, the early video games and real life. And now it's, we don't know the difference between. But in this case, I really felt that there were lots of violence that I was channeling. First of all, the first part was I couldn't get it right because I didn't know how to play the game, and the guy I was playing did know how to play. And he's one of those guys who kind of gets off on that. He gets off on playing somebody who doesn't know how to play the game because he just completely trounces you. And I went through this experience of, at least a dozen times having my head beaten in, and that sort of degradation And then, because I didn't know, you know, how do you push those, what order? It's all about what order you push the buttons in, and then you make the thing do something. And all I could do, I got to do make my guy throw a right jab. That's all I could figure out. He goes, jab, 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 and then the other guy's jumping, you know, up and down on me. You know, I'm randomly pushing buttons, and at some point I just happened on the correct combination, and I whacked the guy, and he went down, and I jumped on him, and I just started bouncing his head with my right jab, which is the only thing I knew how to do. And it was like everyone who's ever humiliated me in my life started coming into my head, you know, and that's who I was busting in the head. And then finally it was over, and I was so shaken by the experience that I had to excuse myself and sit in the toilet for a while until it passed. I was crying, and my hands were shaking. You know, I felt like I was going to puke. And it was just a very, very visceral experience that happened. And you know, none of it was real. It was just me in front of a TV set with a controller, and it's all, you know, just this computer generating these colored patterns. And yet it took me into this place where I felt first of all violated, and then second this sort of righteous justice, it's a feeling of a vengeance that came from the turnaround, and that it only had to happen once. You know, he beat me a dozen times. You know, I turned it around on him once, and you know, all was repaid in that one. You know, all those years I crawled. You know, all those years of crawling, what's his name, Kenny Rogers said, all those years of crawling, all bottled up inside him, and that's copyrighted too, so I can't go any further. That's what I'd like to pound on the head, the copyright law people. Just get them in the octagon, and just climb on top of them in that awkward coupling position they get into, and whack them on the head for a while. We are coming up, about 3 minutes left in the show. What's something good I could talk about in 3 minutes? I don't know. What can it be? I had to have watched something, and I got to participate in a Facebook conversation on curling. And my major contribution was that I was in a strip club in Hamilton, Ontario, for our Canadian brothers and sisters. A lovely city, a very clean city, and a steel city. I haven't been there for 20 years, but I'm presuming it's still pretty much the same. They have a hockey team there now. They didn't have one. No, they don't have a hockey team. What am I talking about? They've been trying to get one, but they haven't got one. They got their CFL team, though, the Tiger Cats. I was in this strip club in Hamilton, Ontario, and there was a curling tournament on the television, and I swear there were more guys watching the curling than were watching the strippers, which is really a shame because they were very lovely ladies, although many of them were French-Canadian and couldn't quite understand what I said because I was American. Because I have a funny accent, and that's 100% true. It's not, you know, they have a funny accent to me. I have an equally funny accent to them, and I was equally difficult for them to understand, as it was for mine to understand them. I'm talking like Jar Jar Binks now. For mine to understand, you don't do Jar Jar Binks, and I'm glad I don't, and you shouldn't either. Let's see, that got me to 90 seconds. You just never know how these things are going to go. The other thing that happened in Hamilton was I was walking back to I'd gone across the street to the convenience store or something from this motel I was staying at. And I was walking back, and I saw some kids walking through the alley, and they were carrying hockey equipment. I mean, it's just the way you would see kids in the States carrying a basketball. Well, they had their skates and their hockey sticks. And I thought, well, this is a strange alien situation, but of course, perfectly normal if you're from Canada. All depends on where you're from. And I didn't talk at all about the Brazilian art exhibit that I went to tonight. Perhaps that will come up next week. Or, more likely, there'll be lots of other things to talk about. But thank you for joining me tonight on Mud Toe at Midnight. My name is Mud Toe Sasquatch. It's always great to have you here, and please join me next week. Bye-bye.